Got Your Back Podstream is brought to you by JL Financial Solutions. If you're an Albertan looking to plan your financial future, you want someone you can trust. Together with Sun Life's estate and financial planning services, JL Financial Solutions will develop a plan you can be confident in to grow and protect your wealth. Give Jonathan Lambert and his team a call at 780-733-0910. What's going on, folks? Welcome to Got Your Back post-game edition. The Oilers moving on to round number two, dispatching the Kings in five games. We have Jason Strudwick, we have Rob Brown, we have Chris Abunya, and for the next 60 or 70 minutes, we're going to break it all down and have a little bit of fun. As always, we're coming at you from our Long Shot studio out here in Sherwood Park. Did you know all Oiler game nights during the playoffs? All you can eat wings. $25 ahead. Visit Long Shots in Sherwood Park, a great golf experience as well. Big thanks to our title sponsor. Of course, without them, we wouldn't be able to bring you this show, Sherwood Buick GMC. If you or someone that you know is interested in a new vehicle or a used vehicle, got to go see Phil and the amazing staff at Sherwood Buick GMC just off Baseline Road on the way into Sherwood Park. 10 Auto Mall Road is the address. You got a streamlined sales and service process. Financing is easy. And by the way, they got fantastic vehicles too. I've got the 1500 Sierra Elevation, just an awesome truck. So go see Phil and the crew at Sherwood Buick GMC. GMCpod.com is the website where you can see all that they have to offer. As we say, good evening to the gentleman, Rob Brown, driving home after his post-game show on 630 Ched. And we have got Struds. Guys, that feeling of dusting a team quickly and earning yourself some rest, Struds. The Oilers have earned themselves a beverage or two tonight. Hey, pal?
Yeah, they have. But you know what's funny? You would have been in the room and kind of around those guys. Like they, it seemed like it was just like they just took care of business, right? Like I didn't get the sense like there was a ton of celebration. Like it just they look like they're on a bit of a mission. I don't know, what did you get when you're around them after the game?
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate, Struds. Like they were pretty chill, man, pretty matter of fact. Like, and that's the thing, right? We talked about the difference between Vegas or LA in the first round, and Brownie, you beat Vegas in the first round and that's like a springboard victory for this team. You beat LA and that's ho-hum, man. You're supposed to beat LA. And so not taking anything away from them, but yeah, Brownie, it was a little ho-hum in there. You heard the post game.
Well, yeah, to me, it was an expectation. They expected to win this series. They know that they're better than the LA Kings. There's teams in the National Hockey League. If Vancouver or Nashville, whoever wins that series, there's going to be pretty big excitement for either one of those teams. Even the Dallas-Vegas one, there's going to be some excitement whichever team wins that series. Because those were, you know, Vancouver-Nashville, neither is expected to go as far in the playoffs. And Dallas and Vegas, that's a tough series. But the Oilers, they plan on going a long way. Their expectation is to challenge for the Stanley Cup. The LA Kings was just one of the bumps they had to get through, and they got through it very well.
Not like in baseball where the champagne would be out and the ski goggles and everything after this series win when there's still a lot of road left to go. So, yeah, no, it was definitely very measured in there. But another solid game tonight from the Oilers, guys. Let's get to the breakdown brought to you by Adrenaline Diesel, Edmonton's heavy-duty diesel truck repair shop specializing in heavy-duty commercial truck and trailer repair, performance, tuning, parts, and sales as well. They've got a highly reviewed customer support team and professional diesel mechanics that are ready to assist you with all of your needs. Check them out at adrenalinediesel.ca. Struds, last show, I made the mistake of trying to come on and ram my ideas about the game down your throat, and you were not having it. You were wanting to take it in your own beautiful, strutty direction. So tonight, my friend, the palette is clean. The paint is still in the jar. It is a completely fresh canvas. I open it up to you, my friend. Where would you like to take your analysis of tonight's game?
You're right. I was a little bit stubborn last game. And to be fair, I did have my own personal agenda. Mm-hmm. Tonight, I don't really feel that way.
You want me to hold your hand? I'm going to guide you through it.
I could probably take a leading here. I just don't feel like it. I think we know what happened in the game. I mean, I just like the last game, I think it was pretty clear. And I really felt strongly about tonight. They played well. They won. You know, I don't think Kings are as good a team. So here we are. Oilers win 4 out of 5 and we move on. I mean, it's, I don't know. I guess we talk power play, you know, Connor McDavid.
I don't know. Brownie, that was a bit of a flat start by our number one analyst here. Maybe I'll just fire it at you, Brownie. What do you got, buddy?
Well, to me, I thought it was a professional victory for the Oilers. I thought they got off to a slow start. I thought they benefited from some questionable calls by a referee, but they took advantage of them. Their power play was excellent. It's funny for Connor McDavid, who only had one goal in this series, and I remember our good friend Strutty said, mark my words, if they don't start shooting on their power play in the playoffs, it's going to be way harder to score. Well, it hasn't been that hard for the Oilers to score so far in the playoffs. Connor's only got one goal. He's still looking past first. They came out, did what they had to do. And I thought they got good goaltending, great specialty teams. And when the game was on the line again in the third period, the first 17 minutes of the third period, the LA Kings had nothing. They didn't get a scoring chance until they pulled their goalie. I thought the Oilers did a wonderful job in the third period, just limiting anything that LA could do.
Yeah, so there's tonight's game to break down, and then there's the series in general. We'll probably do sort of both at the same time as we go here. But dialing in on tonight's game, guys, was it just me? Like, LA did not seem like a team that had their season on the line early in that game. They weren't nearly as physical as they were in other games in the series. There wasn't that much of a push. I thought the Oilers were kind of fine. I didn't feel like the Oilers were pushing back that hard either. They were kind of content with letting LA sort of dictate how hard a night it was going to be. Like, Struds, this was not playoff desperation, season on the line, you know, mayhem going on out. There was a little bit of drama at the end, but it was kind of garbagey for what was on the line for the Kings.
Yeah, and maybe a little bit of nerves there, but I love the word that Brownie used there, professional. I like the Oilers I think they've been through it enough times against this team. They knew what they had to do to get the win. You know, it wasn't like they won the series, but I found, what was it, Sunday night's game way more entertaining, way more kind of compelling. Brownie nailed it. I thought the third period was a good period. But, you know, other than that, it was just it felt like everyone on both teams assumed what was going to happen, you know, in this game. And they just kind of went for it and they're all just moving on, right? Like, LA was going to go home. The Oilers were going to go to bed tonight knowing they'd won the series, and they kind of moved forward. So not that it was a formality, but it felt that way. Again, I wasn't in the building as I was last week. So I just from a distance felt more like a formality than a real, you know, fight in the alley.
Brownie, I was listening to you and Reed on the way home, and I love the point you made about the LA Kings. And this just might be the plain truth about the LA Kings and why we didn't see that much of a push. Brownie, they're just not as good as they were before. And you outlined beautifully why. Take us through that logic.
Well, this is a team that pushed the Oilers to 7 a couple of years ago without Doughty. They've played in a series where they pushed them to 6. They play without Arvidsson. They made some trades. And they made a trade for Dubois, who was absolutely invisible in this season. Or excuse me, in this series. Plus, they gave him $8.5 million for 8 years. I mean, they may have to buy him out after a series. He was horrible. Absolutely horrible. And when they traded away 3 quality players for him. 2 of the players are better than him. And they had to get rid of Durzi as well because of his contract. So those are 4 quality players. So to me, they're not as good because of the Dubois trade. And I do think that Rob Blake has to be held accountable for the fact they didn't get a goaltender. You've got Drew Doughty, who's near the end of his career. He's a Hall of Famer. You've got Kopitar near the end of his career. He's a Hall of Famer. They've got a fairly good team they saw in the regular season. They could have pushed this year if they had goaltending. I mean, in tonight's game, it's a 1-goal game. That goal by Evander Kane, that was a horrible goal on David Rittich. Horrible. You are an underdog. You're the underdog. You got to play perfect hockey. And your goalie gives that goal up. To me, Rob Blake's decision to trade for Dubois and sign him and not go out and get a goaltender, this team, this LA King team, is not near as good as they have been the last couple of years.
Fair stretch.
Not as deep. Yeah, not as deep for sure. And PLDB, as we like to call him.
Only you call him that. You're the only one.
It's coming. Only one. It's coming. PLDB to me was like he just like the penalty even on Drysdale. You know, you can debate whether
that was a bad call.
But I think you got to know the situation, right? Like that's you know, just go over there and it's kind of a high, kind of swings his elbow. Like it's kind of I don't really get that moment for him. So I mean that's a lot of money sitting on your fourth line, not really doing a lot, right? And then I would love to know about Kaliev, you know, the sniper. They why wouldn't they bring him in? You know, is there what's going on with that guy? Because that's two coaches now that don't really play him or seem to appreciate what he brings to the team.
Yeah, it's definitely not. They didn't have the same punchback as they did in the last couple of seasons. Credit to the Oilers. They did enough to win this series. And what enough was to me was nice attention to detail defending Struds. Like, I think the Oilers did a really good job in staying within, you know, being patient, not cheating for offense. And their special teams, this was an absolute slobber knocker on special teams. Wasn't even close. The Oilers' penalty kill was perfect. Their power play was just out of this world. And I don't care what anybody says, they got three power play goals tonight. So add that to the total for the series. Those were both power play goals. So patience, defending, and special team Struds, it made this not even, it didn't really feel that close. The last, I know the scores were closer, but that is such a massive advantage. There's no way LA was overcoming that.
No, you know, and just to kind of follow up on what Brownie and you guys were talking about, I do think that, you know, that maybe LA isn't as good, but maybe the Oilers are a lot better and maybe they're more mature, you know, so, and right now it's hard to tell that because they, you know, they move into the next round. With all due respect to Nashville or Vancouver, I don't believe that they're the same as Colorado and or Vegas were, who the Oilers lost to. So, you know, assuming they make it to round three, it'll be in round three where I would feel they get really tested. And that does sound crazy to say, but just dismissing a round two matchup is easier. But you guys, I think, get the idea. I think that maybe the Oilers are just that much better. You know, I'll say my message again. I think the 5-on-5 play has to be increased as far as the dangerous chances and scoring 5-on-5, because I would have a hard time believing they'll have that kind of success on the power play again in round two. Brown, do you think it's possible?
Shogger, another thing too that gets overlooked, I do believe that the Oilers coaching was head and shoulders above the LA Kings coaching in this series. And my examples are, the Oilers' power play was through the roof, and the LA Kings did nothing to change it. They did. They stayed passive. They didn't force Connor McDavid on the entries. They more or less did the exact same thing they've done without success for 3 years. That's on coaching. The LA Kings' power play was they lost momentum every time they were on the power play. They didn't change their power play. They always started with the same unit. They didn't. The second unit never got very much time. To me, that Spence, I love Doughty, but he's exhausted. That Spence at least gave them some spark. So the specialty teams that the Oilers were dominant on, I give credit to the coaching staff as well as the players. And the LA Kings, who struggled on it, the coaching staff made zero changes in five games, and they got beat up. So to me, the coaching in this series was one-sided as well as the score of the series at 4-1. Knobloch did a much better job than Hiller.
Yeah, that's a great point, Brownie. I think that's well said. Zoe R. says 5v5 offense was good to start the series, tailed off a bit towards the end, and some rest will help. Let's get to the Weish Johnson soundbox. Zuby, I know you guys were the ones that pulled the clips, so I'll let you tee them up. We'll remind you, with the seasons changing, now is a good time to get your air conditioner scheduled in for service before the heat hits, or your ducts clean before you fire up your air conditioner and blow all that dust throughout the house. If you don't have an air conditioner yet, it's also a great time to look into getting one or looking at a heat pump to cool and heat your home. Visit Weese-Johnson.com for all your home comfort needs. That one was totally on me, Zuby. We added a little bit to the read there, and you didn't know that was there, so I'm taking that one 1,000%.
I'm trying to jump it. I'm trying to jump it.
I know. No. That one was completely on me, my friend. Who do we want to go with? You guys grab some Connor McDavid?
We got Connor on kind of the storyline of the game.
Yeah. Roll it, buddy. Roll it. Okay. Let's hear from the captain.
I didn't love our first half of the game. I thought we were a little bit slow. I thought, for whatever reason, but I thought we had a great response. You know, we found ways to draw penalties. I think they weren't very happy with some of the calls, but I think they're all penalties. You know, Holloway sticks in two on a backdoor play. You know, Leo's getting dragged down. You know, they're penalties. And, we found a way to capitalize and then we found a way to close it out. You know, all good things.
So Leon Draisaitl, I thought, had a big presence in important moments in this series. He was a beast in the face-off circle, although struggled a little bit tonight. And Darnell Nurse talked at length about Leon Draisaitl's game, the quality of his two-way game, and in particular, the way that he defended. Zuby, we have that?
I mean, he made so many, numerous defensive plays, whether it was, like you said, back-checking, just being in the right spots in the D zone and picking off passes or, being first to lose pucks. He's on the right side of the puck, all game long. So, he was a horse for us. Really led by example how to play a two-way game, and he was huge in the series.
Brownie, your thoughts on Leon Draisaitl overall?
Well, I mean, Leon Draisaitl's won the heart. He's won the scoring title. He scored 50 goals 3 times. And he's better in the playoffs than he is in the regular season. I think we've seen that over the last number of years. His game gets better. He gets more physical. He plays angrier. Tonight in the first period, there was a great back check by him that looked like the Kings actually had a bit of an odd man break. And Leon came all the way back, took the puck away, and then started going up the other way. Just absolutely manhandled his players. So I thought Leon was excellent in the entire series. And I know that the players have talked about it a few times. They're a much more mature team. I think we saw that with Leon. He kept his emotions in check. If things went sideways, it was fine. He stayed physical. He didn't take any silly penalties. And the Oilers were a much more disciplined team than the LA Kings. And if the Oilers stayed more disciplined than the opposition, that bodes well as the playoffs move on because their power play is so good. But I thought Leon was excellent the entire series in both ends of the rink.
The defensive play was amazing. I honestly think that was really, really well done. Looking ahead to either team he plays against, I think yes, he'll continue that and needs to continue that because it helps the D. I can tell you as a D, when you see your center flying back trying to back check, that gives you a lot of confidence to stand up and to try to shut down plays much earlier than just at the top of your blue paint.
Penner's Pancake says, you can see the maturity of this team over the last 3 years and how they can lock it down. Kane was engaged, controlled his temper, and was happy with a big smiley face. Chief Andy says, Dry is a power play beast, but 5v5, he's nothing without McDavid. Completely disagree with that one, Chief Andy. Perry also had a huge back check on a Nurse pinch, says Obelisk 21. Kind of real well-rounded defensive effort. That third period, guys, the first 14 minutes of that third period was just clinical. It was just clinical. And I mean, LA just didn't have anything and the Oilers weren't giving them anything. And they sort of fell into this, I don't know, this thing where it just felt like the game was over. And they get one and they make it close. But Struds, whatever level of patience the Oilers found, whatever that was that they found there, I think that's going to serve them well if they can bottle that and grab that when they need it.
Yeah, game management, understanding where it's at. And I thought they managed the game really well, but also they were always above their check. And I've explained it before, but basically, you want to be between the man you're playing against and your net all the time. So they have to skate through you, make them skate through your chest. And they did a really good job of that. How many times did we see a player get the red line, get pinched off by whatever King player, and he just chipped it, and they tried one guy to try to go get it, kind of half-heartedly, but it was fine. Then they try to Kings would try to break out, they maybe get snuffed out the Oilers blue line or just inside, and they shoot it back out and they do it all over again. And that's frustrating hockey. I was not a skilled player, but I'm sure, Brownie, when you're just going back and forth trying to get the puck and come up the ice for 15, 16, 17 minutes, it's pretty frustrating.
It is very frustrating, and the Oilers did to the Kings what the Kings have done to so many teams. The Oilers gave them nothing. And when the conversation you two had earlier about, and Shoggy, you didn't think that this had the feeling of a desperate team by the LA Kings. It didn't have that feeling of a team needed to win. To me, I think that all came in the game four. I think the LA Kings threw their best, absolute best at the Edmonton Oilers, and they weren't able to come away with a victory. And I think both teams, as you guys said, came into this game. Yeah, the LA Kings know this series is over. The Oilers know this series is over. We'll both go out there and play it. But I think in the back of both their minds, game four dictated what this was going to be, and it was going to be a five-game series.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, man. You throw everything you got at a team, and you still come up on the short end. And now you got to get into their barn to try and stay alive. Like, you're searching for reasons to believe. Scoring first was huge, too. I mean, the team that scored first won every game in this series, the Oilers got the first one again tonight. And we're in control. Okay, let's get to our UCAN U Services Relentless Player of the Night. If you're looking to hire entry-level staff for your company, UCAN U Services trains youth in pre-employment skills to help get them ready, willing, and able to join your team. Check out www.ucan.ca for more information. Strutty, who are we going to go with tonight, buddy?
A little bit off the board, but a guy that I thought provided a lot of hustle. And when I look at his minutes played, it felt like he played more than he actually did. So Derek Ryan, I think I'm taking Derek Ryan down.
I knew it.
For his effort in this game. And I, quite frankly, the last game too, some big moments he's out for. Knobloch talked about him a little bit post game. But you know, not being in the series to start, then coming out and playing like he did, like he played nine minutes, and it felt like he was around 13, 14. So, guys, for that, he does get it. The depth strikes again.
Big player, a big play at the end of the game, Brownie. Like, that was a big play. The fact that he was out there and then had no stick and was able to affect the play the way he was at a moment where the Kings were, they rarely pushed in that period, but that was happening.
It was. He might have got away with a little hold. A little veteran hold. Yeah, should have been a call there. That was a penalty. Could have been a 6-on-4. But give him credit. He's a guy that was in the press box, comes in, and he wasn't put out in sheltered minutes. Most press box guys come into a lineup, and they get sheltered minutes. All right, and then with about 9 minutes to go in the game, you're going to sit down there. Well, you can come out and celebrate when we're done the game. But in game four, he gets two or three shifts in the last 5 minutes. In game five, holding on to a one-goal lead, he's taking the faceoff and then plays without a stick. So, yes, good on Derek Ryan staying focused and not being, you don't want to be in the press box. But going up there and understanding that you're going to get your opportunity, be prepared for it, and he certainly was.
Struds, you maintained before that Derek Ryan was going to have some part to play in all of this, didn't you? He was one of those guys you felt that way about, even when he wasn't in.
I did. And unfortunately, that means someone else has to come out that probably doesn't deserve to come out. You know, I think Connor Brown could be playing in there. I think that Carrick could be playing in there. And so there's, a couple guys got to come out for him to come in. So here he is. But he's just smart. He's a smart hockey player. It'd be interesting as the playoffs grind on what happens to his role and what happens to that bottom six. But for right now, he should be very proud of the way he played in this first round.
Okay. Lots more to get to in our takeaways segment. We'll maybe, we'll do some player evaluations in this first round, looking ahead to round number two. So we'll get to that in a couple of minutes. For right now though, we got a scoreboard coming your way. Zuby's going to jump in here. Brought to you by DeBoer's Golf Shop and Fitting Center, aiming to help you play better golf. With golf fitting, instruction, after-sales support, golf merchandise, and clothing, celebrating 25 years. Great local business. Check out their pro shop style atmosphere located at 5311 99th Street in Edmonton. Not a long scoreboard tonight, Zuby, but I understand we're souping it up with a little tunage.
funky little backing track here. We'll see how everybody feels about it. Let's see. Oh yeah, this feels like a scoreboard here, right here. Okay. Ooh, it's gonna pick up a little bit.
Symphony.
All right, let's get to it. Oh, I can't even see my notes. It went down here. Okay, only one game tonight. The Dallas Stars win their third straight against Vegas after dropping the first two games of the series at home. Vegas turned to Aiden Hill in goal for game three, but couldn't turn the tide. Jason Robertson scores the winner on the power play in the second period. No goals, no penalties in the third. Game six goes Friday back in Las Vegas. And hey, yeah. You know what? That's it. Do you want to comment on that, or do you want me to hit it right into?
No, it was good. I think the music. I don't know, Struts. We give that music a little, maybe another show.
I like it.
It's okay.
Yeah, right? I like it. I don't mind a little bit of grooves like that.
Mm-hmm. You're good with that, Brownie? Thumbs up from Brownie.
Oh, fantastic!
I think you did a great job, Zuby. The other thing we'll make mention of too, of course, just the games tomorrow night. Right, you got the Canucks and the Predators tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. That's a massive game. And then the Stars and Golden Knights are going to get after it. Or actually, no, you're the Bruins and Leafs are tomorrow. Sorry.
Right.
That's a huge one. And then the Canucks and Preds and Stars and Golden Knights the following night on Friday. So lots of good hockey action between now and when the Oilers are going to suit it up again. But some much needed rest on the way for the Oilers. That was your scoreboard brought to you by DeBoer's Golf Shop and Fitting Center. Lots more are still ahead. Nice job, Zuby.
Thanks, pal.
The fastest growing male grooming company on the planet just got even better. Backscape 2.0 with a revolutionary friction fit handle makes the razor easy to pop in and out to shave not only your back, but anywhere on your body. And those hard to reach spots just got even easier with the new ergonomic design. Backscape's new titanium shave head makes for a smoother, more comfortable shave that respects your skin. Backscape 2.0. Stay smooth, gentlemen.
On paper, my life looks exciting.
In reality, not so much.
Every day it's same old, same old.
Clock in, clock out.
Then I discovered Play Alberta. I can play casino games anytime.
Bet on any game.
And buy lottery tickets anywhere in Alberta. I think my spleen is ruptured.
Let's get to our takeaways brought to you by Martin Motorsports. Feel the electricity of the playoffs with zero electric motorcycles exclusively at Martin Motorsports. Pushing technology and design limits. Look at these things. These bikes redefine riding. Sign up for their free demo day event in May and take a spin for yourself on one. Stop in at their South or West End locations to see the zero electric motorcycle lineup or visit martinmotorsports.ca to reserve yourself a demo today. I was rocking down at Ice District tonight. My son was down there with his girlfriend, said it was good-natured, lots of cheering, lots of excited fans. I'm happy for Oiler fans that they'll get another round here and maybe an all-Canadian matchup. That would be interesting. We shall see. Guys, in this segment, I want to talk about areas for improvement. Maybe do a little bit of player grading here. Maybe more specifically, if we think that there are some players who left a little bit on the table and who heading into the second round might want to be picking things up just a little bit. I think at even strength, guys, they left a lot in the tank here. I didn't like, and McDavid said it, he didn't love the first half of the game. And a lot of times in this series at even strength, I don't know that the Oilers dictated the way they have the ability to. Brownie, maybe we'll start with you since we're talking a little bit more offense here. Like, when the Oilers are ripping, they've got possession, they're prolonged offensive zone chances and cycles and hitting and all this kind. We didn't necessarily see a lot of that. There wasn't a lot of that pop that I think they're going to need to carry themselves through.
Yeah, but is that the Oilers or is that the LA Kings? I mean, the LA Kings are a good hockey club. And I think the LA Kings play a very good system 5-on-5. Their specialty teams suck, but 5-on-5, they're good, and they didn't give the Oilers a whole lot. So, if the Oilers want to go on to the third, the fourth round, win a Stanley Cup, yeah, they're going to have to outscore teams 5-on-5 as well. And they're going to take a step up in weight class each time they go into a new round. But to me, I just think that a lot of the Oilers' lack of offensive success later in this series, the last couple of games, may have been the LA Kings just playing a very good brand of defensive hockey, not giving up a whole lot. And then when the Oilers got the lead, the Oilers just played smart hockey. They didn't try to push it. They didn't try to create something that wasn't there. Because the one thing that you didn't see in this series were a lot of grade-A scoring chances going against them where they gave up odd man breaks. The Oilers did a pretty good job as the season went, or as the series went on, of playing smart hockey 5-on-5 and allowing their power play and specialty teams to win the games for them.
First off, I find it offensive that you went to Brownie to talk about offensive things.
Struds, if I want to talk about off the glass and out or how to dump the puck in without getting in trouble, stuff like that, I'm coming to you first every time.
If there's
how to be a good teammate when you're healthy, scratched, like there, you have your areas of strength.
I know what good offense looks like because I played against many. I'll have you guys know and all the good listeners. So I'll say this. I'll agree with Brownie. I do think that the Kings are a pretty hard team to play against, and you heard the players talk about it afterwards. But what I did like, when you kind of think back on many of the goals they scored, I would say they were from within inside the dots, right? And they were, you know, I go back to the Vegas series last year. It felt like the Oilers were oftentimes on the outside of those dots and kind of moving it around and getting longer shots, but they're on the inside. You know, the one that, and I know was a bit of power play, but you know, like the one off of Nuge, Drysdale's off the side, like they're from in tight. And I like that they're getting in tight, and I think that puts pressure on a defense when they're inside. It's like broken arrow, right? They're inside your territory. So I did really like that. So I am concerned, not concerned, but I'm very, it's on my radar the way they didn't score as much on 5-on-5, but I think we've got to give the Kings some respect as well.
Shane Matheson says they almost played a perfect series. Not sure can pick it apart. LA Kings boring as crap in order to shut it down when needed. 4 fluke goals against. I think I understand that LA plays that kind of a system and that they can shut it down. But I mean, I think you pour some truth serum into those players. Like, Brownie, I think you should still be able to, when they're on their game, I think they can still dictate offensively, even against that team that shuts it down. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they just, I don't know that I think they were kind of letting LA dictate how hard this whole thing was going to be. And they were willing to do enough to win these games, and they were willing, but they were not coming out and imposing their will on them. And the Oilers are a team that's good enough to do that to a lot of teams. So, you know, I think there's some room for improvement there, but fair points by you guys on LA's style. Let's go individual players. In terms of players that maybe left you want a little bit more this series, and I think it's fair to look at that. You know, Nugent Hopkins, I think, had some moments, but again, at even strength, I think there's probably some more for him to be giving a little bit. Adam Henrique at times is another guy that I might point to along those lines, although both play a huge role in special teams, and Nugent Hopkins is on both of those. Is that fair, Struds, to say at even strength, though? Maybe looking for a little bit more from those guys, or who might you point to?
Well, I won't be pointing at the D-men. I thought the D as a group played really well. Mm-hmm. I think they did a lot of good things, and I think we've got to acknowledge that and celebrate, because that was an area that, you know, many of us were wondering about. Well, what was going to happen? Like, Darren A really stepped up. CC really stepped up. We saw Kluak jumping up into the play. Like, those guys all did a really good job. Yeah, I think, you know, Henrique towards the end, well, with his time at the Oilers, we've seen him score many goals around the front of the net, right? I think he scored 5 or 6 goals as an Oiler, and I think they're all within, you know, a 10 or a 5-foot putt from the front of the net. So I'd like to see him continue to get there. Now, to be fair, the Kings did a pretty good job defending around him, and you know, I think he's a little bit tougher. Nugent Hopkins, again, your touch is so many different parts of the games, but I'd like to see him get a little bit more on the inside there as well and try to get some ugly ones, like we saw the one that go off him tonight, Brownie.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you with the defense. I thought the Oilers' defense was excellent in this series. Yeah, the biggest question marks all season long were the Oilers' goaltending and the Oilers' defense. I thought both were fantastic. I thought any questions, marks for the defense and goaltending were answered in that first round. I do agree. I thought Henrique was quiet. And it's hard to be quiet when you're playing with Connor McDavid. So I would think that you would hope he will have more in the next series. He doesn't make any mistakes. He doesn't put you in a bad position. Yeah. But offensively, you really didn't notice him a whole lot as this series went on. And you're playing with the best player in the world. So he'd be the one that, if there's one player that I think that you can see marked improvement on in the next round, that would be the player I'd point out.
And in fairness, he missed some shifts late. Janmark, I think he was down the tunnel late in the game. Janmark took some shifts in his spot. So I wouldn't be surprised if Henrik is dealing with something. And I'm thinking lower body. And if it's affecting his skating at all, obviously that's going to affect his ability to, you know, to do what he needs to do out there. Yeah, I think you make a great point about the D struds. Like, they were so good, man. And that was, you know, I had to do a thing for TSN. What's the biggest question mark heading into the playoffs for the Edmonton Oilers? And it was kind of a toss up between defense and goaltending, right? Those are sort of the two things that we all pointed to. Now the LA Kings didn't have a lot of punch offensively. So, you know, do you need to be careful though about, you know, how good is this decor? Like, it's still a bit of a question. You line up against Colorado, you line up, you got Dallas coming at you, even Vegas. Yeah. Now, Vancouver will give them a good test. Like, they looked good in this series, but do we maybe need to hold off the whole, oh, maybe the D isn't an issue at all?
No, 100%. I think you do. As you go deeper, the tests will get harder and harder. But I don't think it's a coincidence that both the goaltending and the D look good. It kind of has to help a little bit each other, right? You can't just – the D were great, the goalie sucked, or the goalie was awesome, and the D-man sucked. So I think back to the last few minutes of both the last two games. Cody Ceci, stick in the lane, knocking pucks down, you know, stick on pucks, just making it really hard, and then playing tight. There's that quick, tight five on the die, keeping everything to the outside and blocking shots. Like, it does help. Like, all those things help. So, you know, rolling into the next series, you know, I'm guessing it'll be Canucks, but I don't know that for sure, obviously, at this point. But, you know, they have more talent. I think they're a little bit deeper talent. Although the high end of like Fiala and Kempe, those are two pretty high talented players as well, guys.
Well, the thing is with that Fiala, though, I thought they used him wrong in this series as well. Never played with Kopitar, never played with Deno. So I'm going back to LA's coaching. There's some question marks there. I think going forward, I don't think the Oilers' defense are going to be tested a whole lot in the second round. I mean, Vancouver and Nashville just had a game that the shots were 18-16, an entire game. So if you really want to see if this defense is good enough, it'll be in round three. But with Struds, with the Canucks and the Predators, I've watched those games. The Predators have been the best team in, what are they now, 3-2? In 4 of the 5 games, the Predators were the better team. The Canucks are very fortunate to be where they are in this series. It would not surprise me if the Predators force Game 7 and win this series. The Canucks are on their third-string goaltender. The Predators are going home feeling good about themselves. And in this series, the best defenseman in this series thus far has been Roman Josi. Hughes is going to win the Norris. Josi's been the better in this series. And the best line in this series has been the O'Reilly-Forsberg line. They've been fantastic. So they could be going this year. The Edmonton Oilers could be starting on home ice against the Nashville Predators next week if this series continues the way it's been played.
With a ton of rest, Struds, and just ridiculous travel that the Canucks and Preds have to endure.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. And I mean, if you're an Oilers fan, first and foremost, you want it going to 7. And then after that, you kind of pick your poison. But when I look, I've seen the Nashville play as well, and I'm like going through their lines. Like, that top line is good, but I mean, after that, like, there's a lot of hard workers, that's for sure. But I mean, are you losing sleep over Jason Zucker or Evangelista, young player Beauvillier, that was there? You know, we've seen him on a couple different teams now. Jankowski, you know, he was the big pick
keeper,
out of the Flames.
Keeper Sherwood.
Yeah. Tommy Novak. Like, I don't want to be making light of these players, but you stack them up line by line, you know, with the orders, you're like, okay, this should be an advantage Oilers.
They were one of the better teams in the league down the stretch, though. Like, you can't deny the number of games they won and how well they played. They're not pulling that out of thin air.
No, but if you look at, like, truly look at their lines and you know, are you I mean,
that's fair. It's fair, buddy.
It's a really
sometimes the sum of the parts, right? Sometimes it just adds up to something more than it looks like it should when you look at the individual parts, you know.
Yeah, it's sometimes those things run out of juice. Like, I don't know. I just have a hard time. Like, here's the centers: O'Reilly, Sissons, Novak, Michael McCarron, who's I think 7'1" tall, right? Like, he's a monster. Absolute monster. So, I mean, is that what you're – I don't know.
You know what they need to do? This is what the Preds need to do. They need to plan, like, a really fun night out. Like, I don't know. Hey, we're going to go paintball. We're gonna go for a really nice dinner, and then we're going to go paintball and have everyone looking forward to it, and then cancel it at the last minute. No paintball for you.
They won't have time, though. Like, if they play Friday, Sunday, when would the next series start? Would they start at Tuesday?
Yeah, they probably wouldn't have time.
So, like,
but
so
since that they got U2 taken away from them, they've been so good.
They're not going to have time.
They actually had a better stretch than the Oilers did this year. The Oilers went 16 straight wins, but then they had two losses. The Predators went 18 straight without a loss. They went 16-0-2 down the stretch. They do play well. I don't know how. I can't name more than 10 players on their team. but they do play well, and they will give the Oilers a different kind of series. They will try to check them to death, but the difference between the Predators and the Kings is the Predators have a very, very good first line. Forsberg's a star in this league. They do have that, and they got Roman Josi, who is one of the best defensemen in the world still. So the Oilers will be heavy favorites, but if it was the Predators, I mean, the one good thing, if you're an Oilers fan, that's where you want to go for a road trip. You want to go see the Oilers play in Nashville. 100%.
If you're a media guy covering it, you want a direct flight to Vancouver. That's what you want.
No, and that's fair. But let's just talk about the top line. So Forsberg, O'Reilly, Nyquist. Yep, good line. I would much rather play against them every day than McKinnon, Rantanen, and Nyquistkin. Like, that's...
Yeah, well, yeah. Yes, 100%. So, but we're talking between Vancouver and Nashville.
But the Oilers have played against top lines, right? Like, before, like this, and I feel like I'm being disrespectful to Nashville. I know what they did. I've seen them play. I'm just like, I'm not convinced. Like, there's not a ton of threats there. I think this, if you play them, you have to be patient and, you know, work it, get in their zone. Don't give them chances. They want to counterpunch. Make them earn everything they get, because there's not a lot of natural goal scorers in that lineup. Mm-hmm. Compared to, I think Vancouver would have more, although they really haven't shown it.
Well, when we know what the matchup is, we'll dig in on this. And I'm not going to count the Canucks out here yet. I mean, they still got some real good players, and they're, you know, I know the goaltending thing is tough, but let's let it play out and let's see. Final segment before we let you go, Brownie. Brownie points brought to you by Hamel's Premium Jerky. What? Do you what?
So I was wondering if I get a really cool song like Zuby did, because that was really cool that he got one.
Music for Brownie Points? Zuby, re-rack your scoreboard music. Let's throw that over Brownie Points and see how it looks and feels. Hamel's world-famous jerky, located right here in Alberta, using Prime Alberta. No, not for the ad read. I don't know if Hamel's has approved that.
You want to do it while he's talking. Oh, okay.
Yeah, while he's talking.
Oh, sure.
Hamel's might be like, why are you, what are you, we didn't pay for that music. Anyways, they're available in 14 fantastic flavors. I've tried a bunch of them, and it's such good stuff. Family owned and operated, which we love, right? Great Alberta company since 1962 until May 15th. Get 4 half-pound packs of jerky for $77 and free shipping. Visit albertajerky.com. Zuby, roll that music. Brownie, let's do it.
All right, here we go. Let's get the BP points going. Brownie points. Number one, we're giving 10 brownie points to D. Ryan. D. Ryan comes out of the press box, and he goes from the press box. The last minute of the last two games, he was excellent. 10 points, D. Ryan. I'm taking 80 brownie points away from Rob Blake of the Los Angeles Kings for not trading for a goalie at the deadline and for signing the worst contract in the National Hockey League. What is his name again, Struts?
PLDB.
It's not. That's
PLDB. Worst. Everyone will be calling him that tomorrow. PLDB. That trade, to me, set the LA Kings back a couple years. I'm giving 44 star brownie points to the Oilers specialty teams in this series. 5-on-5, these two teams were fairly evenly matched. Specialty teams, they were not. They, Edmonton Oilers, won the series because of their power play and their penalty killing. I'm giving 100 brownie points to the Edmonton Oilers star players. Connor, Leon, Ekholm, Hyman, they came to play. The Oilers star players were way better than the LA Kings star players. And my final one, 20 brownie points to Chris Knobloch, who got to celebrate his 20th anniversary by having his Edmonton Oilers win the playoff series for the first time in Chris Knobloch's life. He is a Stanley Cup series coach, champion, first rounder, and he's been married for 20 years. That's pretty cool.
Well, that was a different level of swagger with brownie points tonight, Struts. Kind of met the moment with the music there.
I like it. Yeah, I like it. It's 70s, 1970s vibe.
I don't know. Great effort tonight, though, Brownie. Great effort by you, buddy. Thank you.
I tried my best. I tried staying with the music, but it's really hard talking about hockey players and it was a nice groove in the background. I really enjoyed it. I wanted to stop talking and just listen to the music.
Yeah, it's a little odd though. It's a little bit, it's almost like, you know, knock at the door. Hi, I'm here to fix your radiator. Like it's got a little bit of that sort of feel going on. It's a little bit of an edge. Hi, I hear that your furnace needs servicing. Brownie, thanks, buddy. We'll chat in a couple of days. When we know who the Oilers are playing, we'll drop another pod.
Sounds good. Take care, guys.
Okay, see you, buddy. The great Rob Brown. All right, lots more to come here on the podcast. Struds and I will take a lap and ask us anything. And, of course, Struddy's World still ahead.
Spring is here. And if you're thinking of buying a new home during the housing market hot period, contacting a mortgage broker should be your first step. Maria Gallas with Maximo Mortgages can guide you with a stress-free experience. With access to dozens of different lenders, Maria's simplistic approach and expert advice will have you ready to put an offer in on your dream home. Take the stress out of your mortgage journey. Contact Maria Gallas at mortgagesbymaria.ca. That's mortgagesbymaria.ca.
For over 60 years, Belvedere Golf and Country Club has been delivering a high-quality golf experience to Edmonton and area. This beautiful private club, located on Highway 21 just south of Sherwood Park, occupies 160 acres and presents a challenging yet adventurous 18-hole design. A beautiful clubhouse, fully stocked pro shop, and warm, friendly staff truly make it feel like you belong to something unique and special. Visit www.belvederegcc.com.
When you make a mistake, heads should roll. It's not right. And I'm here. Someone has to put their foot down. Now that I say it out loud, it does sound a little crazy.
Guy, I look good.
Time now for Struddy's World, brought to you by DLR Vinyl Products. They've got locations in Calgary and in Edmonton. If you're a contracting business, contractor, let DLR help you add vinyl fence to your product line. Reliable, unmatched service with high-quality North American-made products. Visit DLRVinylProducts.ca. Struds, you going to resist the temptation to give the decor more love, or is that what we're all about tonight?
No, I'm gonna pass on that. I think I've said it enough. And but I am gonna talk a little bit about Tampa Bay. It's always hard to see kind of a great team of great players kind of come down to reality a little bit after a hell of a run of success. But it happens. And we see players leave that organization and go somewhere else, like Killorn and others that have had to move on because of the money. Ryan McDonough, a great D-man for them. So Stamkos is up, and there's a lot of talk about was being frustrated before the year, not having a contract, and through the year kind of got quiet. It sounds like right away, Patrice Brisebois the GM of that team spoke to him either right after game five or
Julianne Breezebaugh. You got it.
Julian, not the D man. Yeah. And he spoke to him and just said, hey, man, like we they're hopeful they can get it done. And he's hopeful to make it happen, which makes sense. He's been there a long time now. He's older. I don't know this cap. It'll be the same. He had a great year. Guess it depends on the term and all that. But it feels like Stamkos is a player that should be there. I think he's still productive. I don't know how far this team's going to go in the next little while, but I think he should be there. But the interesting thing that came out of that, the really interesting thing, is Victor Hedman. He was a fifth leading scorer defenseman. And that is also a player that they want to try to re-sign. He has 1 year left on his contract. He's been there for over half his life, pretty much in Tampa. And they're going to look at extending that guy, which makes a lot of sense to me. Now, that's a tricky one because he also isn't a spring chicken anymore. I think he's 33 or 34, somewhere in there. I have to double check it. But either way, that is a guy that I'd be fascinated to see what that contract looks like. It's obvious he likes being there. Like I said, he was a fifth-leading D-man scorer in the league just behind Evan Bouchard. So I think there's obviously a deal to be done. But at that age, 33. So 33, could play 34 next year. How long? What does it look like? The cash? I can't wait to see how that shakes out.
Struds, how do really good teams transition from their Stanley Cup high? How do they transition gracefully without having to just, you know, overpay, put themselves in peril for years to come, trying to keep the band together, and when is the right time to do that? We've seen teams struggle to do it. The Chicago Blackhawks struggled to do it, right? They won and they were so good for so long and good for them. And it's worth the pain that is to come, but it is painful, man, trying to figure out how to transition from this group of stars that gets you to the promised land to a functioning team that's heading in a good direction after the fact. And the Tampa Bay Lightning, I mean, they got a lot of guys that are signed on long-term deals here, but I could see them playing some hardball here with Stamkos because I think they have this in mind. How do you transition properly? You can't pay too many people for what they've done in the past.
No, and that's fair. I think that the case study would be the LA Kings, you know, with all due respect to the team the Oilers just beat today, but they had, you know, they kept their core, a couple of players, Doughty, Kopitar, and then of course Quick, who was traded last year, I think. But anyways, they've kind of retooled on the fly, right? They haven't hit the rock bottom that I believe a team like Washington's heading to, or you mentioned Chicago, or I believe Pittsburgh is probably going to head to at some point. So at some point you have to pause trying to win, right? I think you have to try to recoup some assets and add, but it's hard to do because those guys want to keep going as they get older. So yeah, I don't, his cap, Stamkos cap, it's not going to be the same as it was. That's for sure.
But it's term too, right? Like how much term do you give him?
Yeah.
He wants to be there, but you get yourself in all kinds of trouble with term and Breezebaugh studied under Yzerman. Yzerman is always very careful with giving out too much term.
But if he's $8.5 million now, is he five for 3 years? Like, is that crazy? The guy just banged up 80 points. Like, is that nuts?
He just piled up a bunch. Yeah.
I know. So, but you also have, you know, or do you go year by year? But he probably wants to have some security. Like I don't think it's that easy to get this done. But I mean, if you're Steve Stamkos, do you want to play somewhere else for like $2 million? Like,
well, and I think that's what Breezebaugh is going to be banking on, right? Knowing, and Stamkos has said that he wants to be there. You know, everybody knows that he wants to be there. It's going to be interesting, you know, and I imagine you have to study your other organizations, mistakes that they've made coming out of their winning window and, you know, mistakes they've made, how long they've hamstrung themselves for. Is there a way to turn it around faster and get back into that window without the years of pain? And these are the types of decisions, you know, and it's not about what Stamkos is going to do next year. It's the risk of signing him to 3 or 4. Now you're getting pretty deep into his 30s and, you know, Hedman's a hell of a defenseman, but there is going to come a time where they can't take as big a bite out of things as they once did. And you got to have space for the next generation. So it'll be really interesting to see how that goes. But Breezebaugh, I think, is built a little different than the few other GMs that have tried to do this before. So that's going to be fascinating. Cooper too will be interesting. Yeah, I know there's a 1 year deal there, but it'd be interesting to see if what happens on that front.
he knows what a winning team looks like. And right now this team's just not deep enough. So does he go down with the ship? And by going down, they might make the playoffs every year, but you know, can we forecast them winning? I think it's hard.
Yeah, for sure. All right, that was Strutty's World, brought to you by DLR Vinyl Products. We really want to hear from you tonight. Lots of people joining in on the stream, so let us know what you thought about the Oilers series win. Who would you rather see in the next round? What do you think is the better matchup for the Oilers? Zuby will be compiling all of that for our Ask Us Anything segment. Strutty and I are going to take a lap right after this break. Okay, heroes, are you trying to tough it out through a sports or life injury right now? Trying to prove your mettle by grinding through, gritting your teeth? Well, Redefined Health is here to say it's time to come on in. At Redefined Health, they'll high-five you for your toughness and then get to work on helping you fix the problem. Helping athletes and heroes find better balance, performance, and injury prevention. Visit RedefinedHealth.com.
The Brindley family has made it their mission to create the best-tasting flavored rums on the planet, and they've knocked it out of the park with their Shipwreck rums. Brewed off the small Caribbean island of St. Kitts, their spiced rum is aged 4 years in bourbon barrels and infused with natural vanilla. Their Shipwreck vanilla is blended with natural Madagascar vanilla, giving it incredible smoothness. One sip and you'll agree, it truly is a vacation in a bottle. Available at your local liquor retailer. Please enjoy responsibly.
Long Shots Golf is the destination for both golf enthusiasts and sports fans. Top-of-the-line TrackMan simulators provide a highly entertaining and accurate golf experience, while a full-service sports bar loaded with big screens and scratch kitchen make it a truly unique destination. They have locations in Sherwood Park and Edmonton. Experience the best indoor golf and sports bar in town. Visit longshots.ca. That's longshots with a Z.ca. Time to take a lap, brought to you by Backscape, the fastest growing male grooming company on the planet, is now even better thanks to their 2.0 kit. Engineered with a friction fit handle that allows you to effortlessly snap the shaver in and out, can touch up the rest of your body. Go to backscape.com. That's backscape.com. We've got a promo code for you, GYB10. We'll get you 10% off their advanced and deluxe kits. Backscape. Stay smooth, gentlemen. We just talked about the Tampa Bay Lightning. Where else you want to go, Struds, for taking a lap?
Well, can't stop watching Vegas and Dallas. It's been an amazing series. Road team won the first four games. Dallas gets it done tonight. And, it's pretty neat watching those two because they're both, I think, good teams. And Dallas seems to have found their groove, the way they're playing. And there was a moment in the game, I don't know if you caught it, Shogar, but there's a moment in the game about, I want to say, 3-4 minutes left. Chandler Stephenson gets a breakaway, and he goes by Miro Heiskanen and kind of squeaks by him and gets this breakaway. And Ottinger makes a fantastic save, toe save. Chandler Stephenson goes backhand, comes back to his forehand, and Ottinger strikes that pose, gets that pad down, and denies the goal. And you know, in my mind, I just keep thinking Ottinger has another couple gears of goaltending.
Oh yeah,
I don't think we've seen. When you talk to people around or read what they're talking about, there hasn't been that level yet, and so it makes me nervous. I see that save in that moment, I'm like, oh man, that could be bad news for Vegas short term, Colorado medium term, and then. But Oilers fans are hoping long-term Oilers.
We've seen Ottinger just take over a series, man. Oh. Remember him against the Flames?
It's crazy.
Literally just took over the series.
Yeah.
He has that level in him.
He does. Haven't seen it this year. I don't know if you can find it mid-playoffs.
Yep, fair.
But you just see that moment, right? Like, okay, like that's a huge save. Humongous save in a huge moment. And is he build off that? Is that the jump start?
That Wyatt Johnson is just something, man. He is a gamer. He's coming up big for them. He's got 6 points in their five games. Jamie Benn too. There was a time where we weren't sure what the rest of Jamie Benn's career was going to look like. He had the hip stuff going on and all that. But I don't know, buddy. If you had to pick a player to take into a big playoff game with you. How many names down the list would you get for forwards before you might consider Jamie Benn? Like, well, that guy's a gamer.
Yeah, that's right. If you're looking for a gamer and someone's going to compete and have impose his will on the team, on a team, that's the guy. I don't think he's going to score at the rate he used to, but he's just like everyone's big brother out there. He and Adam Lowry have similar roles. Now, I think Jamie has more offensive ability, but you know the touch to play him with younger players, I think, is fantastic because Jamie knows the game. And a guy like Stankoven or Wyatt Johnson earlier, like, they're speedy. They can make plays around him. And him supporting, obviously, like, I don't want to pretend like he's useless, but he understands how to make it. Then they also feel very safe having their captain on the line with them, you know, barking at people and slapping people's sticks out of their hands. So,
and he intimidates people, man. Like, people know that guy can scrap. He can settle people down because he can go when he needs to go.
That note's a great, great, great. So that's if you haven't watched that series, do yourself a favor. Now that the Oilers are out, watch that series because it's been really, really good. And then the Norris Trophy has come out, and no surprise, it's 1, 2, 3 guys as far as leading the points. You've got Quinn Hughes, Yossi, and Makar.
Yeah.
Now Makar's second in points. I do think it's going to be Quinn Hughes that gets it. But those three, not a big surprise. But should be mentioned, Bouchard finished fourth in scoring in D-man, which, you know, does he get to a level where we could say he might be a
buddy? His last couple of games, man, like you said it last pod. He's the one that has set this bar, right? So if he has this in him, so if he can be, you know, and it's the playoffs, guys are going to bring their absolute best in the playoffs. But I think we've seen a small sample size of Evan Bouchard playing the game in a way that puts him right there in that conversation. Offensively, he's basically already there. Yeah. But he's shown the ability to round out his game in a way that puts him in that conversation, I would think.
Well said. And, you know, it's TBD moving forward for sure. But he's, really impressed with the defensive side of the game. I know that doesn't usually always win you a Norris Trophy, but I think it wins you the hearts and minds of your teammates.
You think Yossi finishes fair? You think Yossi finishes ahead of Makar? Like, Makar's defensive year, I don't think, was great.
Yeah. You know what? I guess I've never really thought about who's going to finish second or third after.
Hughes will win it.
I think it's Hughes. I think, you know, yes, I could see Yossi getting it. I think it's going to be close. Makar has the name, right? And he, you know, the goal he scored the other night against Winnipeg, that's elite, right? People are like, oh my God, did you see that play?
One more bonus lap really quick, because I want your opinion on the Hurricanes and Rod Brind'Amour. They're playing fast and loose with a guy that's generally regarded one of the best coaches around. And it sounds like Tom Dundon, you know, maybe there was a deal that was on the table and then all of a sudden wasn't. And it's looking like it's a little dicey out there, Struds. Like, this is not the time or place to mess around with a high-end coach because there's nothing but money and availability out there.
A lot of opportunity for sure. But I guess two things. One, Brind'Amour know how Dundon likes to operate. You know, he does things his way and he does it a very more fiscally responsible way than maybe other programs do. And, you know, number two, there's a good team there and they've molded into what he is, right? They play the way he believes they should play. Does he want to go start over somewhere else, you know, with the usual suspects like San Jose? I believe that'd be a hard no. Kraken, maybe, I guess. Ottawa, perhaps, you know, I'm not sure.
Can I throw a name at you or a team at you?
Sure.
Yeah. It's a little, you know, I don't mean to be disrespectful here, but I think we see some writing on the wall. Toronto. Like, Rod Brind'Amour fixes locker rooms, man. He'll come in and he will fix your locker room.
Interesting. Yeah. I do feel for Sheldon that it's this 100%. And I'm not saying that to be mean or anything. I just, every coach has his time. And that would be a payday. You
know, the MLS, he steps up. Like, how much?
Oh, it's a payday.
$6 million on the table, whatever.
That's a payday for him, for sure.
To get him to leave home, right? To get him to leave home. And that's tough. But at a certain point, you let him bring his staff with him, who you know he's loyal to. Anyways, we won't go too far down that path because there's guys that are working and you know, we're not trying to fire guys here, but it's just, that's definitely, point is, if you're done and you gotta see all this, you gotta look ahead to all of this. You willing to lose this guy?
I don't know him. I feel like he's going to do it his way. I remember seeing him at the draft in Vancouver. He was wearing a tracksuit.
Oh yeah, on the draft floor. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and so that tells me he doesn't care, and not that he doesn't care about his team, but he believes that what he does is right. And look where they've got the team so far.
All right, that was Taking a Lap, brought to you by Backscape. Time to get our viewers and listeners involved. Time for Ask Us Anything, brought to you by the Shark of the Park, Rini Buchlin of Maxwell Devonshire Realty. Have to say, we have some personal experience with Rini. We have a family member that's in the middle of a sale and a potential buy, and she's just all over it. The service really is really good. I've used a lot of real estate agents over the years, and Rini definitely stands out with the way she handles things. Just great service. You really genuinely understand that she cares. She knows this is a big deal, and she'll take good care of you. So highly recommend her. Call her for a no-obligation quote, 780-994-0280. That's Rini Buchlin of Maxwell Devonshire Realty, the Shark of the Park. Zuby, hop back in here, buddy.
Hey, guys. On the Norris Trophy discussion, I did see a thing posted, I don't have it handy, where they compared some of Evan Bouchard's certain metrics to the guys who are nominated, and he was first or second in a number of them. Without going into too much detail on that, then the question just arose, Ekholm v. Bouchard, is if each of you had a vote to cast for the Norris to cast for an Oilers defenseman, would it be Ekholm, would it be Bouchard, would it be someone else?
Oh. Oh, that's a tough one.
Ekholm was injured to start the year and didn't have his high-end game for the first part of the year. Bouchard just didn't play great for the first part of the year. So I would say it's really tough. I think the amount of offense that Bouchard brings is unique, although Ekholm had a really nice run there too. I would probably have Ekholm ahead of Bouchard in terms of if you're picking, you know, overall. But I think Bouchard stands a way better chance of consistently being in the Norris conversation, which is kind of what Struds and I were referring to.
Yeah. And just the age. I mean, obviously, yeah. I think that unfortunately players like Ekholm don't get recognized. It's generally speaking, the point producers that get that award. I would like to see another award for that. But again, what do you base it on? That's the hard part. Defenseman of the year. Like it's a tough one.
Who described it the other night? It might've been on this show or it might've been on the broadcast. I can't remember, but somebody basically was describing Ekholm. They said, you know, he defends better than Nurse, isn't quite as offensive as Bouchard,
right?
But he's like this. He's like, I mean, he's their number one defenseman. You know, he just is.
Yeah, and it just his the way he behaves, his swagger, like he calms things down. And yeah, you know what? I will say one thing. I love the way he and Victor Arvidsson are going at it.
Oh,
and
my Arvidsson, goodness. They're tight too, hey? They're buds.
And Victor Arvidsson is up this year. My God, would he look good in Oilers jersey? I know there's no money, but he is. I love his engine. He just never stops. Yeah.
Who was Arvidsson upset with at the final horn? He was beaking at somebody, but then I never saw the other side of that. They showed the Kings kind of gathering at the net, and he was still heated back at somebody. I didn't see how the
final thing. Probably the refs on the no call on Ryan, I would guess.
yeah, that could. On whether the stream here would rather see the Oilers play the Canucks or the Preds, I would say most people are saying the Preds. I think that's more because they want the Canucks to lose. Rye Guy says, much rather see the Preds, but their shot blocking has been crazy. That could certainly pose a problem for the Oilers. I don't know about over a 7-game series. Ahmed said, it doesn't matter which team, but I want them to go 7 games. And on the, I'd like to see the Oilers play the Canucks. I think they would like for the narrative that's come out of the regular season head-to-head matchups, I feel like the Oilers would embrace that. Penner's Pancakes added, regular season means nothing. Jets swept the Avs in the regular season, and look what happened there.
Oh, good point. Good point. Struds, clearly there's a matchup you think they would prefer, though, right?
I would take the Preds. If I'm looking for the easier path, I would take the Preds. You look at that third line. Is it Dakota Johnson or Joshua? Lindholm. And then who is it? Garland. I think it's Garland on there.
So. Like, I'll call it up here.
That's a hardworking line. That's a really hardworking line. Then, you know, Neil's whole line, I talk about a guy with an engine. He gets it done. But, like, you know, Peterson.
Patterson, you know, Mikheyev.
He hasn't had the best. You know, those. I'm not sure that they're. From what I've watched them, I don't think he's found his playoff grit just yet, though, Mikheyev and Pedersen. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's, I don't think this Nationals is skilled. And I know that's disrespectful, but that's how
well, and the Oilers traditionally have beat the Preds for fun, right? Like, I mean, Draisaitl just feasts on that team. He just feasts on them.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, I still think Canucks get it done. I do believe that, but. I mean, I'll be watching that game Friday night, man. I want to see what's up.
A couple more, Zuby. It's a really late night tonight, so we won't go too long with this. We appreciate everybody that's still live with us here. It's just unreal.
Zoe R said Knobloch forgetting about the handshake line was funny. Probably just force of habit. Or maybe he had a late date with his for his anniversary. Yeah. He was trying to get out of there. I don't know if I've ever seen that before, but that goes back to you guys saying the whole team's been very businesslike. That was like businesslike. On to the next one. I'm out of here.
Yep. 100%. Obelisk is saying, Ryan, question for you. Is it only the rights holder reporters that travel on the team charter? Yeah, good question. So during the regular season and quite often in the playoffs, so the guys that actually work on the broadcast, like Gene Principe would travel on the charter, Jack Michaels, Bob Stauffer, the ones who work directly for the rights holders and on the broadcasts generally will have seats on the charter. Sometimes that adjusts a little bit in the playoffs, but the rest of the working media, we're on our own to kind of book flights and follow the team around.
Obelisk also said, I think this is the healthiest the Oilers have been going into round two in the last 3 years. You know, we know Kane's injury, maybe Henrik, but of course they had Nurse was hurt pretty bad the 1 year, and Dry was hurt pretty bad the other year. So, and now they got a chunk of time off. So how do you think the health is going to, help out the Oilers in round two?
It's massive, Struds, to be healthy, have everybody, man. That's massive. Yeah.
Well, let's assume they start Tuesday. I'm just going to pick that day. I don't know if that's accurate, but from the time of game four through till that game, it'll be 8-9 days of one game. They've had one game in 8-9 days. I mean, come on. That's a pretty good. And if it's Nashville, they start at home. I mean, if not, they fly to Vancouver. Like, it's pretty crazy that this is what the situation they're at or in. Yeah.
Zuby, if it's okay with you, I'm going to grab the last one here because there was one I saw that I liked, but I can't see it, so I can't grab who it's from. But somebody asked you, Struds, to pick a relentless player of the series for the Oilers in round number one. So if you were to circle somebody as we always do the relentless player of the game, who would be your relentless player of the series in this series?
Well, that's a really good one. I mean, there's some obvious ones, you know, Connor. You know, I thought Kane had a good series, but I know this is a bit of a cop out, but I'm going to go with the D. Like, I was very
all the D,
all six. How about you throw in the extras in? I really, or if I have to get on one, then I'll go Vinny Darnay or CC, I guess. Like those two guys and the group as a whole, I really thought they played well. I really enjoyed their game. I love their stick position. I love the way they competed, making plays. Mm-hmm. Like they were good, man. They were really good.
No, I think that's reasonable. I mean, I think Draisaitl was really, really good. Through a lot of this series. I think Evander Kane helped change the temperature of the series emotionally a few times. Yeah. So he would definitely be in contention as well. Yeah. Zuby, any more? Or is that it?
I got a couple of nice comments that I wanted to add to. Spills earlier said, I watched the second half of the game from an animal hospital, have my cat checked out. I'm thrilled that my cat is okay and the Oilers finished the series. Good. So that's good news there. And then Paige Shills said, just want to say, guys, been going through a brutal breakup. And you guys, after the games, really cheer me up. You all seem like genuine good dudes, and I appreciate what you do. So I thought that was a nice thing. We're here to help.
You got your back, Paige.
Yeah, exactly. And just what you were just saying, yeah, Gabriella C. about Relentless of the series, Gabriella C. said, there's always a depth guy that is the star of a series. I think Kane was that guy for this series. So that was her vote for Evander Kane.
No, very good points. Very good points.
Oh, hang on. Well, there was one. This is a question. A couple people said they'd switch out Fogle for Connor Brown in round two. Steno said that. Jabel says, screwing with something so good does not seem to scare Chris Knobloch. So what do you think of the possibility of Connor Brown drawing back in, and would Fogle be that guy?
I have a hard time pulling a guy out you just won a series with. I think that'd be pretty bold. Move Cotton. I think you might move that further down the line, you know, maybe in game two or game three. But I'll say maybe it depends who else you're playing as well, right? Like Fogle was at his best. So I regret not bringing him up. I think that's a guy that we could have found another gear on. Even tonight, like, he got the puck a couple times and kind of fell down. Like, it's like,
yeah,
is he wobbling? Has he got a sore leg? Because it wasn't quite the same. But I would not change that out to start the series. Moving through it, if it continues, then he might look at it.
All right. That was Ask Us Anything, brought to you by the Shark of the Park, Rini Buchlan. We'll wrap with our Play Alberta play of the day. Playoffs are wild. And this year, Play Alberta is making it even more wild. Make a deposit with the promo code GYB50. Snags you a $50 free sports bet with your next deposit. Get ready for unbeatable promos throughout the playoffs. 10-plus odd boosts on every order playoff game. And you can score a chance to win a pair of lower bowl or even exclusive suite tickets for an order playoff game just by making a bet on an order playoff game at playalberta.ca. Bonus terms and conditions apply. And as always, please play responsibly. Struds, you got something in mind for the play of the day? I mean, I'm going to point to Derek Ryan. I don't know where you're at.
Derek was excellent. I think I awarded him the Relentless player, I believe. So I think I'm going to do with this one. I'm going to go with Evander Kane. And I loved his goal. Gets the puck out, chips it to, I think it was Kulak, drives the middle ice, gets it back, then just throws it on that and kind of goes to the net. And it wasn't beautiful, but you know, you look at the goal the other night for the Toronto Maple Leafs, it was like that. Just getting pucks to the net in the playoffs seems to be a theme. And I think that's important for voters to continue that up. For that, Evander Kane, you're my man.
Play of the day, brought to you by Play Alberta. You know what I liked about that? He started the play and he finished the play. That means you're moving your feet. When you're the guy that makes a nice chip at the blue line and then you're the guy that finishes, that means you're going to the net, you're keeping your feet moving. Evander Kane, very good in this series and a very good sign for the Edmonton Oilers. They are moving on. Zuby, great job tonight, buddy.
Thanks, pal. Clean show.
Yeah, reasonably clean, I would say.
Love a clean show.
I love it.
Oh, hit Struds, we'll talk to you too early on the Weiss Johnson tonight. But we got to hear it twice.
That one was on me. Struds, when we know the matchup, we'll do another pod and we'll tee it all up. Thanks, buddy. Okay.
Till then, let's get some rest. I can't wait for round two.
Late one. 2:02 a.m. as we wrap up. We still have like tons of people joining us live on the stream tonight. We've got the best listeners and viewers and watchers. Honestly, so loyal. So amazing to be up this late with us. We appreciate it. Thanks for your downloads and your subs as well if you're listening in podcast form. And thanks to our title sponsor, Sherwood Buick GMC. We'll chat with you in a couple of days, folks. Enjoy the games.